Welcome to the Do Zone, where entrepreneurs go to get things done. I'm your host, Josh Thomas. You can find me on all social media at JT Literally. Each week, I bring on experts from a variety of backgrounds to share their stories on how to optimize performance so you can take massive action and crush your goals. The Do Zone is sponsored by Conversational Funnels. This is the easiest way to get more sales. The easiest way to get more sales is to get more chances to sell. We used one simple conversational funnel to casually book 121 qualified sales opportunities in less than 2 weeks in a brand new market where we had zero presence and zero connections, all without spending on ads, doing cold outreach, or posting endlessly on social media. This is the new way to close high-ticket clients for 2025, and it only takes minutes to start booking calls. Download the blueprint for free at conversationalfunnels.com. Today's guest is Dre Baldwin. Dre Baldwin is the CEO and founder of Work On Your Game, Inc. He has given 4 TEDx talks and has authored 35 books. Dre had a 9-year professional basketball career playing in 8 countries. Dre's framework is the roadmap in reverse for high performance, consistency, and results. Dre, welcome to the Do Zone. Tell us something you believe is the key to getting things done that most people wouldn't think of.
Thanks for having me on, Josh. Glad to be here. The key to getting things done that most people wouldn't think of: accept pressure and accept deadlines, even the stress that comes with both.
Accept pressure and accept deadlines and that stress. Let's home in on that for a minute. Stress, because a lot of times we're spending a lot of energy trying to avoid stress.
Exactly.
But stress creates progress, it sounds like. Tell me more about that.
Well, there's two different types of stress. There's distress. When most people say stress, that's what they're talking about, distress. That's the kind of stress that makes you feel old and tired and like giving up, or makes you feel or look 10 years older than you actually are. That's the kind of stress people don't like. That leads to heart attacks and things like that. Then there's eustress. Eustress is a real word. It's E-U-S-T-R-E-S-S. That's a positive kind of stress. This is the kind of stress that you sign up for voluntarily under the belief that going through this is going to be challenging. I know it's going to be challenging, but I also believe that it's going to make me better in the long run. For example, going to the gym and lifting weights. You know it's going to be stressful to lift the weights, but you do it anyway. Sign up for a marathon, you've never done it before. Hiring a coach, hiring a personal trainer. You know they're going to push you to do stuff that you don't want to do, but you do it anyway because you believe it's going to make you better. So stress is all based in the way that you frame it, because the same situation can be distressful or eustress depending on the way you choose to look at it.
You know, I'd never heard that word in my life before today. I was today years old when I knew that eustress was a thing.
Exactly.
Yeah. And it makes total sense, because if I think about stress, I just think about all of the pressure that's weighing down on me to produce, but the stuff that kind of eats away at my soul, you know, and makes me want to crawl into a corner and cry. But yep, there's this positive stress, just like you put stress on your muscles when you're lifting weights. That stress is what creates the growth.
Exactly. And this is what a lot of people don't know about eustress. I didn't know about it. I read about it 15, maybe 20 years ago in a book. I had never heard of it before that, and I was already an adult by that point. And this is the kind of stress that, again, when you think about it, you realize, oh, there is that kind of stress. We've all heard of going to the gym and lifting weights and signing up for something that's hard because we believe it'll make us better. We just didn't have a label for it. And what I found, I pay attention to language a lot. Words matter a lot to me, is that when we can put a label on something, it makes it easier to understand. It also makes it easier to deploy and use.
You know, that's a great point as far as labeling things. Like, give it a name, because without giving it a name, it's just this abstract idea that's floating around.
Right.
And I think that's a great piece of advice for just being more productive in general. You know, this is a podcast about productivity for entrepreneurs. And so everything that you do should be well-defined. For instance, if you want to grow your business and you say, I want to make as much money as I can, you're going to fail at that. But if you want to grow your business and you say, I want to make $1 million in the next 90 days.
Right.
You may still fail at that, but at least you can build a plan because you have a clear destination. You've named that, you've labeled it.
Exactly. And that leads right into the other thing that we were talking about, was the deadline. When you give yourself a deadline to get things done, again, that can be distressful or it can light you up, and it can create the eustress, because at least you know that you're putting yourself there on purpose. And another thing about distress versus eustress is distress is usually something that happens to you, whereas eustress is something that you happen to. You choose eustress, whereas distress is something that you didn't control, and it just kind of overwhelms you, for lack of a better term.
Awesome. So I want to hear a little bit about the roadmap in reverse. And I don't want to guess as to what this is, but I think I know what it is. And I think the idea for me personally, if I'm ever trying to accomplish something, I always start at the destination and figure out how I can build that back. And so I'm curious if it's something similar to that, or if there's some other idea here, but I love the way that it sounds. And so tell me a little bit more.
Yeah, you nailed it. So the roadmap in reverse is thinking about what the outcome is that we want to achieve, and then just asking ourselves a series of questions. What would need to be true in order for this to occur? And then just continually asking that question as you work backwards from the goal back to the starting point where you are today. And when you get back to the starting point where you are today, all we do is flip that map upside down, and we know the steps that need to be followed, or at least we know the achievements that need to be achieved in order to get there. So the roadmap in reverse, I wish I could take credit for coming up with it out of my sleep. I didn't. And actually, one of my coaching clients said it in a testimonial video. And when I heard it, I said, "That's perfect. I'm gonna start using that." So,
I'm stealing that. Yeah. I don't know. I get it. Steal like an artist.
that's right.
That's good. And so what are the question, what are some of the questions that we can ask that'll take us through this roadmap? Could you kind of give us an example?
Sure. So let's say someone's out of shape. They're 50 pounds overweight, and they want to lose the 50 pounds. They want to have a six pack, and they want to be able to run an 8 minute mile for a 5K, which is a little bit over 3 miles. All right. So that's the goal. That's the outcome. So the question is, and it's the same question over and over again, Josh, is what would need to be true in order for those things to occur? In order for me to lose this weight, or you actually have three paths here, for me to lose 50 pounds, what would need to be true? For me to be able to run a 5K at an 8 minute mile pace, what would need to be true? For me to have my six pack abs showing when I take my shirt off, what would need to be true? And then you just start working backwards from there. So let's say the abs, I want my abs to show. What would need to be true? I probably had to get rid of any fat that's on my stomach. All right, what would need to be true for that to happen? All right, probably got to stop eating potato chips and watching 3 hours of Netflix and stop eating ice cream. What else would need to be true? I probably need to start eating more fruits and vegetables. What else would need to be true? I got to stop drinking beer and start drinking water. What else would need to be true? I probably need to get more sleep. I'm sleeping 5 hours a night, right? And I probably need to get up to 8 hours a night. What else would need to be true? I probably need to stop going to the gym, sitting on the exercise bike and looking at my phone. Instead, hire a trainer who will actually tell me what to do when I'm in the gym so I can be more effective and efficient in my workouts. What else would need to be true? I got to stop
Dre, stop spying on my life, man. What are you doing, peeping into my house when I'm relaxing?
I can do that all day, so we can just keep working back until we get to the
Yeah,
person.
no, it's awesome, and this is something that really anybody can do this. You
Yes.
anybody can ask that question and provide a pretty logical answer.
Correct.
It's not something that we need to go and hire some guru and touch their cloth or something to figure out. We have this within us, but knowing that we have to map it out in reverse and executing that roadmap is a chasm of difference. And so once we have that plan, what are the steps that we take to actually make sure we follow through and we're consistent and we execute?
So there's where you may go get the guru or the coach or the expert, because those steps that I just said, okay, so I'm going to have to start working out more. I'm going to have to watch what I eat. I'm going to have to stop messing around in the gym. Well, if it was so easy as to just tell yourself, "I just need to," and fill in the gap, well, then we would have no need for this conversation, because everyone would just do everything they're supposed to do. We don't do that.
Right.
Human beings by
I
nature.
literally built an entire podcast for people
Exactly.
who didn't do the things that they were supposed to do. It's called the do zone, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Because if they
We wouldn't have anything to
didn't,
talk about.
exactly. So that's where we go get the help. So that's where we go find a person who is outside of ourselves. Because here's the thing about human nature, that we have a self-protection mechanism within us that we will not push ourselves past a certain point of pain or discomfort on our own, as a general rule. But other people, don't feel the pain that we're feeling emotionally or physically. When a trainer tells you to do one more set of burpees and you don't feel like it, you feel like you can't, the trainer doesn't feel that pain. So they will make you do the extra 10 burpees. If you were in the gym by yourself, you would go home at that point. They're going to make you do the extra 10. So I've heard trainers say this, that if a client will let me push them and do what I say, they'll get double the results in half the time. And that's literally how it works in life, is that when we get to the point of fatigue, or any type of fatigue, mental, emotional, physical, that we feel like we can't do anymore, it's the more that we do at that point is where the growth starts to occur. When we do up to the point of what we're comfortable with, that's when we get maintenance. And if you're at a good space, hey, you continue to maintain. But most of the people I talk to, Josh, I'm assuming is the same with you. You have a show called The Do Zone. They're trying to go further and they're trying to go, they're trying to advance more. Therefore, we had to find a way to be pushed past what we're used to. And that's where the eustress comes in. And again, we don't have to do the eustress to ourselves. Sign up for the eustress, because you could probably go further than you think you can if somebody else is pushing you because they don't feel the pain.
Man, just blew my mind on the eustress thing there. But as you were talking about that, there was this there was this moment that I was going to the gym. I was getting up at like 5:15 in the morning. I was hitting the gym at 6, and I did that 5 days a week. And probably in the best shape of my life, but
I can predict that.
And it wasn't because I was doing anything crazy. It was just because I was consistent, you know. But the thing that stands out about what you said is I didn't have a trainer. I just went and I did my reps. I had my routine, and you know, whenever it started feeling funny or I got tired, I'd stop. You know, and I was maintaining. Like I was in a good spot and I was maintaining, but like I was like a half inch away from that six pack, man. And I wanted it, but I didn't want it bad enough to create the eustress to get there. I didn't want it bad enough. And I knew what it took, but I didn't have somebody pushing me past that comfort zone. And ultimately, you know, I never got there. What you're telling me here makes all the sense in the world is we can get to a certain point on our own, but sometimes we become our own worst enemies, or the way that we're wired for our own survival and our brains are trying to conserve energy. And they're like, oh man, don't get too comfortable. Don't go too long without eating some fatty foods and carbs. You never know. There might be a famine or a saber-toothed tiger or something. Like, we're still programmed like cavemen. Right. And that's really what we're fighting against. That's why we need some help to get out there.
Yes, exactly. And just get moved out of the comfort zone, which everybody's familiar with. And everyone accepts, but you say it, hey, you know, all the growth is outside of your comfort zone. Everybody agrees with it, but then they walk out of the room and go back to doing comfort zone things. So it's how willing are you to get out of that comfort zone or be pushed out of the comfort zone and remain out of it? And the interesting thing is, the longer you remain out of the comfort zone, now that space becomes part of your comfort zone. So you just expand, you grow, and you get better the more you allow yourself or push yourself to get out of or go past what you're used to.
Is that how you ended up in a hot dog eating contest?
That was luck. That was blind luck. So I was walking around in a coconut grove here in Miami on a 4th of July one day. And this woman came up to me, because at the time I wasn't wearing a suit. I was wearing this tank top, and I don't have a lot of body fat. And at this time I was still playing sports. So I guess she looked at me and just sized me up, like, this guy's pretty big and muscular. Maybe he can eat a lot of hot dogs. So she said, do you want to be in a hot dog eating contest? And I don't even like hot dogs, but I said, yes, why not? And I got in the contest and I think I ate one hot dog and maybe a half, because you know how when they do the contest on TV, they dip the bread in water so they can eat it faster. Well, I tried what I saw on TV, and this is the reason why they do it on TV. And that thing triggered a gag reflex, and I was like, couldn't eat anymore. So I ate hot dogs. So it's not like I got blown out, but I only ate one.
Yeah, well, you needed more eustress. You got, if you train, I think if you get a trainer, you'll dominate, man.
Yeah, I need a trainer for that. That's correct.
Good. So tell us a little bit about what you do, who you serve, and how they can connect with you.
Yeah, my company is called Work On Your Game. Who we serve is the ambitious. We're looking for people who are top 2% individuals. I know I'm not talking to everybody when I say the ambitious. Those who are serious about a high level of performance, they want to do it consistently, and they want to produce more results in their lives. And we work with people from all different industries. And what we do is take the tools to help athletes reach the top of the sports world. We translate them over to the business world based on a 4-part framework of mindset, strategy, systems, and accountability. And our program, you can find more out out more at workonyourgameuniversity.com.
Excellent. Well, hey, we're going to wrap from here. Thanks so much to our guest, Dre Baldwin, for coming on and sharing a little bit of wisdom about how he gets stuff done and introducing me to my favorite word for the rest of the year, which is eustress. You can connect with him and learn more about what he does at, one more time, the website?
WorkOnYourGameUniversity.com.
WorkOnYourGameUniversity.com. Whether you're on your morning commute, in the gym, or somewhere out in the field, snap a selfie, tag me at JT Literally. Show me what you do while you're in the do zone. And one more time, if you want to stuff your calendar with qualified and motivated ideal clients who want what you have, download the Conversational Funnels Blueprint for free at conversationalfunnels.com. That's it. Let's get to work.
Hey, thanks for listening to the Do Zone podcast. If you're running a service-based business that's looking to grow this year, let's talk about how we can slingshot you into momentum with a quick injection of cash and sales. Our clients typically see results in as little as 7 days. To learn more about what we do, you could go to factorone.io. Once again, that's factorone.io. We'll see you next time.